I'm American made, but a lot Chevrolet. My mama taught me wrong from right. I was born in the South. Sometimes I have a big mouth when I see something that I don't like. I gotta say it.
And this is Michelle Morin on the After Hours podcast. It is September 10th, 2017, and we talked all about the hurricane on the live show tonight, so we're going to go a little bit into some other topics tonight. First off, let's see, where do I want to start? There was a guy on Facebook who created a Facebook cause. It was called, let's find it here, Shoot at Hurricane Irma. I believe it was tongue-in-cheek. His description was of this website or this cause on Facebook was, yo, so this goofy-looking, windy head blank named Irma said they pulling up on us. Let's show Irma that we shoot first. It was an event, not a cause. It was an event.
It was. Did they have a date on it?
They have a date on it. I should probably look that up.
I hope that it happened already and we have, like, we can see who attended.
Well, it had like 50,000 people attending.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I thought maybe 100 people would do that.
No.
50,000?
Are interested. Maybe not. 21,000 going and then 45,000 interested, but that was
a couple
like days ago.
That's like 60,000 people. Wow.
So, what does the left do when they see something like... Now, this is kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing, right? I mean, if anyone's going to take this seriously, we've got real problems.
Well, you say that. Someone took it seriously.
So, there's a group called the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence, the CSGV. They found this Facebook event and tweeted it. And CSGV tweeted a link to the event, and their tweet was, "Unfortunately, we must issue the following warning." And they'd use little yellow warning signs with exclamation marks and in caps. "Do not shoot your guns at the hurricane!" Exclamation point.
I love the fact that they're against the event, but they advertised it on their
they
Twitter.
They did advertise it.
They retweeted it going, "Hey, look at this, and don't do it." Okay.
So I just thought that was quite funny. I hope no one shot at the hurricane.
I mean,
that would be very interesting. As a shooter, it'd be very interesting to see what happens with the velocity of the rounds. But I'm not advocating
for it. I'm sure there's some crazy people down there doing it. You should not do that.
No, you should not do that. I'm echoing the leftist group. So, a little bit of humor there. I found that a Miami woman gave birth during Irma when first responders could not come to her
aid, and she couldn't go to
the hospital. So she called the fire department, and they, over the phone...
Was she alone?
As far as I know.
Holy cow, okay.
As far as I know. Now, the article didn't say much more. But they walked her through giving birth to this baby and everything from giving birth to...
Taking care of things afterwards.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And then she made it to the hospital the next day. So everything worked out fine.
Wait a minute. She made it to the hospital the next day?
Something like that.
What?
Yeah.
Why couldn't she go then?
I don't know.
The first day.
I don't know.
Oh,
look it up.
Lord.
Look it
I'm going to have to look that
up. Look that one
That's
up.
Like the worst time ever, and then you do that in a hurricane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And speaking from personal experience, four times around, you don't want to do that alone.
No, not alone. You think, okay, I have somebody here to help me. Nope, if you're doing it alone with a phone.
With a phone. With a phone. Oh. But at least there was someone there, right?
In spirit or in voice.
I'm very, very happy that she made it through.
Yeah, and everyone was okay, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
As far as I know, in the article. So, in the show, we talked a little bit about how the left is capitalizing on the hurricanes and using it as never letting a crisis go to waste.
Yeah.
So, this crisis, what do you think it's about for the left? It's an easy one. Three guesses.
Oh, that'd be global warming.
Yes.
Yes.
Global warming.
We had, I think it was last week or the week before, we had that crazy woman talking about the plants, how they were going to suck up all the water from Hurricane Harvey, because plants just take in That's gallons right. and the millions of gallons yes. of water.
Well, let's give some background on that. There was a journalist.
Was it journalist, my
professing
mistake,
yes. to be an expert on global warming. And she said that.
She stated that if there wasn't so much development in Houston, I believe it was mm-hmm. Houston, that all the plants that they flattened and paved over would have taken in all this water from the hurricane.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's funny.
Really? It was 55 inches or something like that? Yeah. Something close to that? Yeah. Millions of gallons of water.
Trillions,
and these plants were going to, they were going to suck up all that water.
And then on my live show, we played Jennifer Lawrence. We played her. She's also an expert on global warming, and she clarified that, yes, indeed, climate change is man-made. She gave no substance behind it, but she clarified that.
Oh, it's scientifically proven.
Scientifically proven.
According to her.
And she said that the hurricanes are Mother Nature's enraged at us voters for electing Trump.
It was her wrath against Trump voters.
Yeah.
You know, because... If we're gonna call out nature as being racist for the eclipse because white people, might as well say Mother Nature is angry about Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go all out.
Yeah, it's funny. After the show last week, I have several computers, and I have one computer that I have left the opening page to the default.
Mm-hmm.
So it's MS Microsoft. I don't know. It's the opening page. So you get all these different headlines. I get the headlines that I would never go looking for. So, and I'm keeping it there because I think it keeps me well-rounded and diverse.
Yes. Well, it lets you know what big media wants you to hear.
It does. And one of the headlines, I didn't even read the article. One of the headlines was immigrants, undocumented immigrants may hold the key to Harvey recovery.
What?
That was the headline. Undocumented
immigrants
may be the key to recovery from Harvey. And
on the face of that sounds a little bit racist.
You think?
Oh, we have new workers to come in to do all this stuff for us. Okay.
See, I didn't even go there with it. But where I went with it was, wow, you can just fill in the blank with that headline. Take off undocumented immigrants and put in minimum wage.
Yes.
Could be the key.
Could be the key.
Or whatever you want. Just pick your cause.
DACA.
DACA could be the key. Anything. Anything. Open borders could be the key.
Yeah.
Big media is just awful. That's why we do this show.
Yeah, they will take advantage of any situation.
Any situation. So speaking of that, we've got a lot of leftists trying to blame the hurricanes on you and me. And the way they say it is it's climate change, global warming.
Oh, okay. I thought they were going to go after Trump supporters. Like somehow we conjured up this.
Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence.
Well, she's
doing
it. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I thought more people. Yeah. I'm sure there are.
So this is an opportunity that they can't not grab. This is their opportunity to grab more power over you and me. And bring us in submission to their agenda, because the whole environmentalist agenda, climate change, global warming, go into a little bit of history here. This is all ex-communism. When communism fell and everybody in the world knew that communism was a fail, they had to give it repackage it.
Yeah.
So when they came, started talking about it in America again, they knew they couldn't use communism. So the new way of repackaging it was environmentalism. And it's brilliant if you're a leftist.
Why did they pick environmentalism? Why couldn't they pick something else?
Because environmentalism allows you, it's kind of, to me, I liken it to Obamacare. It's one of those grandiose ideas that can be used to control every aspect of someone's life. The ground they walk on, the animals they might be killing, the trees they might be killing, the air you breathe. Everything you do, all of a sudden, you are contributing to the downfall of the world.
And so you need to submit to our ideas.
That's right.
Okay.
And if you don't, and they come up with anything. They use all kinds of numbers, all kinds of jargon, and any opportunity. And it can go into any aspect of your life. Cows tooting in California?
That's global warming?
Yeah.
There's too many cows in the world?
Too much carbon?
So they're
trying to regulate cows.
Regulate. So they're for killing cows.
No, they just. I don't.
Well, if we have too many, we need to get rid of them somehow.
I guess so. Anyway, okay. So I went on a little bit of a rabbit trail there, but I just want to explain. When we talk about climate change and global warming, that's why it's so urgent to them to use it, because it is, in their mind, it is the way to destroy the Constitutional Republic and bring you and me under their subjugation and control.
Yep, and any environmental disaster has to be. I'm surprised they didn't say anything about the earthquake in Mexico. They say, oh, that's global warming.
That's right.
It warmed the earth and shook it.
That's right. Well, there was an expert on MSNBC. You know I mean it when I say it like that, right? There's this guy. It is a guy. His name is Ali Velshi. I don't know anything else about him, and I really don't care to.
I've never seen him before, maybe because I don't watch MSNBC very much.
Well, we bring MSNBC. We expose them plenty.
Yeah.
So we know. So he was on a Saturday interview on MSNBC, and he was on an interview with the Florida GOP. It says here the Florida GOP mayor, Tomas Regalado. Okay, so Regalado is not who we're talking about. He just happened to be part of it. And they were talking about Irma, and NBC's Ali Velshi was arguing that the hurricane is an opportunity to talk about climate change. Notice the pretty word, opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity to talk about climate change. Let's just hear what the expert says. And we know nothing about this guy, but do know, based on his words, he's a leftist who wants to control you.
Yeah.
Miami is one of the most exposed assets in the United States because of the coastal area and the investment of developers. So this should be a lesson for everybody in the United States.
I think you're absolutely right. This is an opportunity to think about how we build, how we mitigate rising sea levels and climate change, and it's not fake news.
I like the stinger at the end. It's not fake news. It's so defensive about it. It's not fake news.
That tells you everything you need to know.
Exactly.
And just listen to what he said. It's an opportunity to think about how we build, how we mitigate rising sea levels and climate change. You know, the rising sea levels thing, it's a myth. But if they know, if they just repeat it over and over.
And I just want to make a point about... He's talking about rising sea levels with a hurricane, and you told me about pictures of the sea being drained.
There you go.
By the hurricane. It was literally sucking the water up.
Yeah.
So technically, if we made the hurricane, we're solving that problem.
We
solved the ocean's rising.
Speaking of that.
Yeah.
If the listeners haven't seen the pictures, go online and look up the pictures of Tampa Bay emptying out, Key Largo in the Bahamas, and those are the only three I know of. There are probably more. This is stunning, and I've never seen it
before. It's so strange to see that, yeah.
It is so weird. There's no ocean. The ocean is gone.
It receded so far. It just
disappeared. It looks like it's gone for miles.
Yeah.
That's creepy weird.
Yeah.
Because it quietly sneaks away, and it's going to come back
it's
somewhere.
Coming back, yeah.
So... I'm not trying to make light of it. Sometimes humor helps, but
yeah.
No, I'm still praying for these people. But no, that's the creepiest thing. When I first saw it, I thought tsunami. That's the only thing I know of that would pull the ocean water back. But I guess a big hurricane will do the same thing.
Yeah, well, air currents and all the other scientific stuff I don't know about.
Yeah. So anyway, Jason had a point before the show started with all this talk about the climate change and how it's man's fault. Jason, you didn't realize how powerful you were as a white guy, or you're a minority, but you look like a white guy.
Well, they're blaming all of this stuff on us. And I wish that I knew about all this power I had about how we can affect the eclipse.
Yeah.
And only make it to where it goes on a path through only white states. And then we cause hurricanes. I had no idea I had all this power stored up.
Yeah.
Just like all my... I can't wait to use it.
You need to learn how to facilitate it, dude.
Exactly.
So, I want to talk about Rush, the king of conservative talk. I'm sure he'll be talking about this tomorrow, but I just want to touch on it because my words have been twisted. Every conservative who's ever spoken, their words have been twisted. And this one just caught my eye. I did a search on Rush, Hurricane Irma. Here are just three of them. Rush Limbaugh says Hurricane Irma is conspiracy. Evacuates anyway. Rush Limbaugh indicates he's evacuating Palm Beach days after suggesting Hurricane Irma is fake news. Wait, what? Al Roker reacts to news Rush Limbaugh evacuated Florida's studio after calling Irma a hoax. All right, that last one was from People. Second one was from Chicago Tribune. First one was from HuffPost. Okay, those are all guilty sources as charged. So I actually didn't know about this. I just happened to come across a headline that indicated Rush was saying that Irma was a conspiracy, and I thought, gosh, I want to go, you know, find out what that's all about.
Yeah, that headline is attention-grabbing,
of
course.
It is attention-grabbing. The king of talk radio is suggesting it was a hoax, and then he bails.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's not character. Well, I went and found the transcript and the audio of what he was saying, and Jason has put together some of these clips. It's a little choppy, but I want you to get the listener to get the general idea of what Rush was really saying in case you come across these headlines. And Rush was not saying anything of the kind. Rush was being quite analytical and sharing his bias and his experience.
And for reference, this was the September 5th podcast, I believe?
Yes,
okay, if you want to go back and listen to the whole thing in context.
So it's 5 days ago, September 5th. So let's play some of this audio from Rush's broadcast and just get a feel for it. And then I want you to – I'll go back and read the headlines again. You'll see what the left does to demolish everything that we say as conservatives.
So how in the world does panic get created? How in the world is it that there isn't any bottled water? And why does that cause a panic? Has anybody ever heard of the tap? I'm sure you have some empty bottled water or empty water bottles from previous usage. Just put them under the faucet and fill it up. It's in many ways, it's the same stuff you're buying at the grocery store.
Okay.
You may not.
That's really interesting because the whole bottled water thing, and I'm gonna actually deviate from topic and then we'll come back because the bottled water thing, I want to talk about that too. Rush makes a very interesting point here. Bottled water was gone by 5 days ago, so that would have been the 5th would have been Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's what Tim was saying from Florida. The water on the gas was gone by Tuesday. Why is that? Okay. Hold that thought, and we're going to go off on just a little bit of a side road here. I've seen posts how business owners are price gouging water, and you're seeing pictures of water cases of water being sold in Florida for crazy prices, $28, $40 for a case of water.
I was going to say I saw one for $45 for a case of like 24 bottles.
And the business owners are getting crucified, and this is wrong. This is something that should not be going viral. It disturbs me. And I may be too economics based in this, but we have to talk economics.
Okay, I might have to. I'll be the devil's advocate for you. I'll be the devil's advocate.
So there's this emotional plea from some people on Facebook calling out, arrest the business owners who are selling the water. They're price gouging it. And I'm saying, wait a minute. You know, think about what Rush said. It's really an eye-opener. They still could have gotten, they're still home, they've still got containers, they still have tap water.
Yeah.
They still could have gotten water. So that tells me that water was still available. Maybe not bottled water, but water was still available. But I kind of started talking to someone about it because she was very upset that the price gouging was going on. And I want to kind of shed some light on that. I understand that there are some nasty people out there who will take advantage of consumers and they will do true price gouging. So that does happen, but I'm going to put that aside and I'm going to say, let's give the business owner the benefit of the doubt in this argument. A business owner, people come in and they run out of, you know, water just goes off the shelves. And the local water producers, bottled water producers and distributors who live in Florida who would bring normally stock the shelves, they're out of water. And these guys are probably preparing to evacuate or preparing their own homes to hunker down or whatever it might be. Bottled water is not readily available anymore. All right? So as a business owner, if you still want to supply bottled water, where are you going to get it? Are you going to be able to get it from your local distributors anymore? Probably not. So you may have to get it from something somewhere further away, which causes a added price because someone further away has got to maybe work more factory hours to produce the, you know, what's needed, and they've got to ship it and pay the gas prices and bring it in. So the supplier is going to charge a higher price, and the business owner also has to pay a higher price. That's one example. That's one example. And if people are grabbing it off the shelves, supply and demand just starts taking place. So the price is going to go up. That's not price gouging. That's just simple supply and demand. And it's very unfortunate because that's what happens during a crisis. It's supply and demand. And then the person I was talking to said, well, why don't we regulate how much water is available? To which I asked the question, do you want to be the business owner regulating how much water your customers get? Because I don't think that's going to go down very well. I mean, if I was a business owner and I'm like, I'm sorry, ma'am, you can only buy one case of water. Is that going to go well? I don't think that's going to go well. I've got people standing on the other side of the counter who want to make sure they have water for their family, and I'm telling them they can only have one case. That's just not going to go. I don't want to be in the business of regulating as a business owner. So I'm looking at it for me as a business owner. This is a very emotional situation. Could be, you know, water's do or die. I almost feel like as a business owner, I would just not even bother carrying it anymore. I don't want to be in the middle of that dilemma.
And I think that's where I fall on it. As using your example, instead of regulating how much water each person gets, you're going to tell them, oh, sorry, that costs $57 now. It was $12. Now it's $57.
So that you don't greed it all up.
Well, and people are going to stab me whether I do that or not. If I tell them it's $500, they're going to just take it or kill me for it.
I know.
So either way, either if you don't have it or if you're regulating it, you just say, I don't have any. I'm sorry, I sold all of my water.
Well, my point is, it's too easy to get caught up in the emotion of this, and I can understand.
Yeah.
I can understand it. But I really want my listeners and the people that I come in contact with to calm down and understand that the market forces of supply and demand are still at play even when there's a crisis. And it's an unfortunate situation and there's no easy answer. But
my
okay,
thoughts
Jason,
on that,
Jason's
my
giving
thoughts
me some
on
doubtful looks.
My devil's advocate is, when you have a store owner who sees that, they're not getting water supplied from an outside source farther away that's going to cost more. They're just going to say, well, I still have water. No one's come here yet, so now I'm going to charge $47 for my cases I've had for 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, and I can't doubt that that happens.
And that's where I fall on
but
it.
How
do you know? If I go into a store and he says, well, we just got these in from Alabama. They cost, you know, $57. Mm-hmm. I don't know that. How do I know he got these from Alabama or if he's had them for 2 or 3 weeks and he's just brought out his back, you know, back door?
Well, I can see me as a business owner. I would want to supply water.
Yeah.
I would want to supply water, but I'm not going to give it away. I still have to make a living. I still have to go take care of my family when I close up for the night.
And I'm not advocating they give it away for free. But when it jumps from $12 to $47, there's a problem, in my opinion, especially in an emergency, in a disaster.
I just wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to be the business owner. You would be in a lose-lose situation.
Exactly. I would have all of my supply, my 500 cases of water, and when I'm done with those 500 cases, I'm selling it at $12. I'm done.
And then I can make the argument that you're not humanitarian.
Because I wasn't saving, you know, I could also just take recycled bottles. Say, hey, when you're done with your water bottle, bring it back, and I'll refill it for 25 cents.
Well, Rush made the good point. They're still running tap water.
You still have running tap water.
Kind of weird that this came up. But I think when Rush brought that up, I went back to what I saw on social media, and I thought, I almost feel like someone just put that out there to dig at business just because they could.
I know. And there is that aspect
still water.
Of it. Yeah, there's still water. As far as our caller knew, it's like, there was still water until recently.
So, all right. Off that rabbit trail, let's come back to Rush. All right, so let's play some more audio. So now you just heard Rush try to explain, try to kind of shed some light on why is there so much panic. All right, let's keep going with Rush.
Now, my theory, and it's only a theory, is that because of the biases, because of the politicization of everything, because you have people in all of these government areas who believe man is causing climate change, and they're hell-bent on proving it. They're hell-bent on demonstrating it. They're hell-bent on persuading people of it.
Okay. Did you hear Rush say, my theory, it's only a theory? I agree with him. It's because of the biases that he has, and because of the biases of the politicization of everything. Everybody believes in big government that we cause climate change, hence we cause the hurricanes. So Rush is just making that clear. He's talking about biases.
And he's stating that it's his theory, it's not a fact.
Yeah. All right, next clip.
The reason that I am leery of forecasts this far out, folks, is because I see how the system works. Now, I don't mean this to be a personal attack on anybody. But the one thing that's undeniable throughout our culture is that everything has been politicized. And in that sense, much of our public information system, including from the government, from the drive-by media, has been corrupted.
Exactly. Keep going.
Another thing I've found, folks, these storms, once they actually hit, are never as strong as they're reported. If you look at graphics, the data you can find from sea buoys and on the ground in spots in the Caribbean where hurricanes hit before they get here, it's amazing that the actual wind speeds are never or very rarely as high as what they would be if it's genuinely Category 4, Category 5. Now, somewhere in the storm they are, but not the whole thing.
Okay. This is really, really critical, what he just said. In his experience, he's found the storms are never, the wind speeds are never as high as they would be if they were genuinely Category 4 or 5. It's what he's found. He didn't say that's what's happening this time. He's telling you historical reality and his experience. He's apparently lived in Florida a pretty long time. Okay? Did he say it was a hoax yet? Did he say it was fake news? Did he say it was, what was the other one? A conspiracy.
A conspiracy.
Okay. Touched on that a little bit. He didn't say this hurricane was a conspiracy. He was saying that in his experience, big government is hell-bent on forcing us to believe that we cause climate change. Okay? So that's about the closest thing that came to a conspiracy. Do you have any more audio?
Yep, I have a longer clip.
Okay.
You can see it in the way the deep state deals with Trump. You can see it with the way the intelligence community and the Washington establishment deal with Trump. So in the case of a hurricane, what happens? Well, there are many levels here. When a hurricane pops up, and we can't forget Hurricane Harvey, because Hurricane Harvey and the TV pictures that accompanied that go a long way to helping further and create the panic. Now, in the official meteorological circles, you have an abundance of people who believe that man-made climate change is real. And they believe that Al Gore is correct when he has written, and he couldn't be more wrong, that climate change is creating more hurricanes and stronger hurricanes. And, of course, when Harvey hit, it was the first hurricane that had hit in 12 years. There haven't been more hurricanes, and they're no more dangerous than any others in previous years. But doesn't matter, because the bias is built in. So there is a desire to advance this climate change agenda. And hurricanes are one of the fastest and best ways to do it. You can accomplish a lot just by creating fear and panic. You don't even need the hurricane to hit anywhere. All you need is to create the fear and panic accompanied by talk that climate change is causing hurricanes to become more frequent and bigger and more dangerous, and you create the panic and its mission accomplished, agenda advanced.
Stop. Perfect. That is why the left came out and said what he said, and they lied.
Yep.
He nailed them with that. He nailed them with that statement, and they're up in arms. So they're twisting his words and saying that Rush Limbaugh says Hurricane Irma is a conspiracy but evacuates anyway. Rush Limbaugh indicates he's evacuating Palm Beach days after suggesting Hurricane Irma is fake news. Wait, what? Al Roker reacts to news. Rush Limbaugh evacuated Florida studio after calling Hurricane Irma a hoax. Did you hear any of that in any of his words?
I just want to pause you right there.
Okay.
I have not heard Al Roker's name in a long, long time. That kind of threw me for a loop. It's like, what? What? He's still doing weather stuff?
These people cry out from the grave sometimes. Yeah. This is their calling. It's no, he nailed them. He nailed them exactly on what they're doing, so they came after him.
Yep.
Good on Rush. So I'm sure he'll address it. He's very good at, you know, this is a great opportunity for him to,
you know. They come out and just point out how off they were and how much their headlines were just
fake news. They're liars.
Fake news.
Total liars. All right, changing subjects. David Leiden. I think it's David Leiden. That name, I always forget it until I see it in writing. I shouldn't forget his name. This is the guy who went undercover in all of the Planned Parenthood seminars and conferences and meetings and recorded all the Planned Parenthood doctors and got them to admit the horrific things that they do when they are in the abortion industry. He exposed them, and then he got taken to court, and he has been raked over the coals. He's been threatened with all kinds of penalties, and now he's actually been charged by a judge $200,000, and he has to pay the National Abortion Federation for releasing the videos that were filmed undercover during his their annual meetings in 2014 and 15. Mm-hmm. Has to pay them $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's painful.
That is.
However, it proves he hit the mark.
Yeah.
He hit the mark. So I'm very sorry. I hope he does a GoFundMe or something. He needs our support. But golly, it just doesn't stop.
Nope.
It doesn't stop. So, you know, prayers for David Leiden, and I do hope he starts a GoFundMe or something. He did a service to life. He did a service to our culture. He did a service to everything we believe in. And he's getting raked over the coals, and I bet you 99.9% of Americans don't even know who he is and probably haven't seen the videos. And, gee, why hasn't Planned Parenthood been prosecuted? Where's Trump on that?
Yeah.
Sessions should be all over that.
You would think.
All right, Hillary Clinton. She wrote a book, so she's on her book tour.
I think she's written multiple books at this point.
Okay. She's rich white lady, isn't she?
Well, yeah. She has plenty of time to sit around and write books.
Now, we did find some audio of Hillary talking, and I opted not to share it because it wasn't exact. I could bust on Hillary all day long. It was her laughing.
I have 100 clips of her just being a terrible person.
That's a great way of putting it. Well, her latest comments about why she lost the election, I'll just read them to you. Quote, I knew there were people who were angry and people who had resentments. I understood that and could see that. But I couldn't believe, and I'm just not wired to think, that the best way for a leader to bring people together and solve problems is to stoke that anger and to feed that resentment, she said to wild applause.
Mm-hmm.
According to Breitbart, she went on. Look, you can just hear her being this condescending look.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I understand, and here's what I want to do to help. If I didn't display more anger so that they could feel I got their anger, and I feel that is a legitimate question about what happened in that campaign in 2016 and something I struggled with because I don't think anger is a strategy. Her nose grows when she says that. It is certainly justified in the face of what we see oftentimes in our society. But I think leaders, whether it's in church or in politics, should be looking for ways to find common ground or even higher ground, and not to create scapegoats and stoke hatred, bigotry, and prejudice and the like. Pastor Hillary.
Yep.
Okay. Sweden. Let's go across the ocean to Sweden. Just a quick story here. There was a fire in the city in a suburb called Kroksback. It's the Swedish city of Malmo, but the suburb is called Kroksback. Apparently it's a no-go zone. A no-go zone is basically an Islamic stronghold where first responders generally don't go. Mailmen don't go. Firemen don't respond. Police officers don't respond.
And why don't they go there?
Because, well, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
So apparently some Swedish firemen, goodness got the better of them, and they went in to fight this fire.
They decided to try to do their job.
There was a fire, and it started after two cars in a car park were set on fire on Thursday. And police and fire crews were called. So apparently the no-go zones still call them.
Well, people, someone who probably didn't, was worried about a fire. They weren't part of that.
And they arrived on scene, and then another fire started at a nearby building. So there were two fires. As the firemen tried to put out the second blaze, glass bottles were thrown at them and at their vehicles. So the firemen abandoned the blaze, and it took down the building and burned it to the ground. There you go. That's what happens when you are multicultural instead of...
Oh, I'm sure that the no-go zone would be like, wow, we had this fire and the firemen just left us here to burn.
Probably.
Oh, really? Well, after you throw bottles at us, yeah, we're going to leave you.
All right. So one more thing I wanted to share with all of you. If you haven't heard this one, sit down. So Planned Parenthood has a president. Her name is Cecil Richards.
Oh, I was hoping you'd get to this.
Oh, yeah. And she sent out a fundraising email because she didn't like that Trump decided to throw DACA back at Congress. DACA is the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It basically allows illegals that are minors to become citizens.
Yeah, if your parents brought you over and you were all illegal, the children can stay.
Yeah. And Trump, a lot's happened with DACA. And I don't think we're going to go into that tonight. It's getting quite late. We'll do that another time. But Trump basically said, I'm going to let Congress handle this. So it was interpreted as, oh, Trump stopped DACA, which he should have. But anyway, that's a totally different story.
Yeah.
So the left's in this false uproar about how Trump hates children.
No, not just children. Minority children.
Minority children.
Who are illegal.
Or minority illegals.
Yes, minority illegals. He hates everyone who's not white.
So Planned Parenthood chimed in. This Cecil Richards, the president, she's a sweet soul.
Mm-hmm.
She said, here at Planned Parenthood, we firmly believe that every person has the right to live, work, and raise a family freely and without the threat of deportation or separation.
And that sounds so wonderful until you realize it's the
Planned Parenthood.
One. Really? Really?
Right to live?
You have the right to, well, except for the kids we don't care about.
Right. So that's all we're going to touch on tonight on this After Hours podcast. This is Michelle Morin on AM 740, KVOR. I hope that you have a wonderful week. I hope that you are, like I am, praying for our nation. We're under dire attack from natural disasters and real enemies. Tomorrow's 9/11. We've got a lot to be praying about. We've got a lot to be thinking about and taking up our own place in this wonderful nation to save the Constitutional Republic. But we'll always be talking about that. There's more on that every time we chat. I hope you have a wonderful week. And join me next Sunday, every Sunday, live on KVOR from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. That's on AM 740 KVOR. And you can always check the KVOR website for my podcast if you can't tune in live. This is Michelle Morin signing off.